Happy 2018, everybody. We're a few months late, but hey, it's a new episode of the Six Degree Podcast. For this new year, we're trying a bit of a new approach. We're going to be diving into topics that the cultural zeitgeist has long since abandoned. This week, the Enneagram. I feel like my voice has changed since we last recorded.
Really?
You know, like, you know, you can tell when people are older by their voice. You know, their voices just sound different, like more gravelly. I feel like that's happened.
That's happened in the last 6 months.
It's happened in the last 6 months.
Well, you've had a lot happen in the last 6 months.
I have had a lot happen.
What? Note Joy is not working.
It's okay. I got a new position at work, finally. I finally acquiesced to... Yeah, I finally acquiesced out of engineering. Is that what we can call it?
That's a great word.
Absconded.
Yes, absconded is a great word.
Abscond is a great word. But it does look like we're recording, so that's good.
Oh, we're recording.
I was a little scared.
Best movie you saw last year?
Been unpacking all this stuff from boxes. Last year, as in ending in December 31st, 2017. Well, it's from last year, but I watched it this year, The Big Sick.
That was really good.
It was excellent. I
loved it.
I mean, there was a lot of hype going into it. I follow Kumail on Twitter, so I read all his press things. So I was pretty hyped up already, and it met and exceeded my expectations.
It was good. I enjoyed it. I loved Ray Romano and Holly Hunter.
They were great.
They were my favorite part, if I'm being straight up honest.
Ray Romano, I feel like he's on a real...
He was great.
Real redemption.
I've always wanted to have a conversation with someone from your... I can't remember how he puts it.
Background or something like that.
And then Camille... This is actually in the trailer, but he's like, 9/11 was a tough day. We lost 19 of our best guys. That's great.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man.
I can't think about much past that.
For me, it was Arrival.
That was in 2017?
Wasn't it? Was it not?
No, it was 2016, for sure. It was like a fall movie. That was probably my favorite movie of 2016.
That movie was incredible.
Yeah, I actually was trying to get Jordan to watch it, but it's not really her. Yeah, 2016 American science fiction.
Oh, touche. She doesn't enjoy weeping.
I told you that story, right? I like watched that movie. I went by myself, and I literally left that theater like bawling my eyes out.
I didn't realize you were in the theater when you saw it.
I'd like to go do that. I go see movies by myself. Dude, it's a fun thing.
I saw Dunkirk this year.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that yet.
It was great. In the theater it was a matinee, so it was a lot of older folks. And it was in one of those theaters where the seats are assigned. But it was like, there was...
With older folks? Is that so they can find their seat?
Well, otherwise, no. I mean, it was just the theater does, you know, you buy the ticket and you have
like Alamo
Draft
House.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What everybody's doing now. But it was in the middle of the day, so there was hardly anybody in the theater. And these people are like making sure they're in the...
It's coming and checking your tickets.
Pretty adorable. Like, oh. They couldn't quite get like the row right, and they were confused about which seat they were on, so... I did enjoy the experience of watching a movie by myself more than I thought I would.
Yeah. With dadhood, I feel like people that see movies I want to see them quicker than I can. And so it became a thing to where I would try and get people to go with me and it just didn't happen. And then I realized, why do I need people to go with me again? Oh, yeah. I don't. So I just go by myself, and it's an amazing experience, and I highly recommend it.
What do you want to start
with?
How
have you been? It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, a few months. Yeah, we had it was a big year. Both of us moved.
It was a crazy year.
And
it was an insane year. Yeah, changing jobs, changing positions at my job.
Changing me and changing you.
Sweet Caroline. I had to think about. Isn't that what it is? No.
That was. We have changing. Come. With open hearts, so let this ancient word.
Holy. Wow.
What's up?
We used to sing that song and hold our Bibles.
Yeah, same.
Worship it like an idol. That's another topic. Speaking of topics, that's what we're going to do now. On this podcast, we're topics and transition. No, transitioning. I've been trying to think of alliterated words that go with topic. We're going to keep the interview format, but only do it sparingly.
Not every week.
Not every time. And we're not. This podcast is not going to come out every week.
What am I saying?
What are we talking about?
Who are we kidding?
Let's keep our goals attainable. Let's keep them reachable. Smart goals, right? And so we'll keep our goals within reach, and we feel like we're gonna do some quick hit topic ideas that we think are fun and interesting, and see how it goes. And then we'll spice in a few interesting interviews with people that we want to.
I like it.
I went back and listened to the interview that we never aired from last year, and
with Callie,
the quality is kind of subpar. So we might just
sorry, Callie.
That one might just get lost.
She probably forgot we did it.
I know. I don't know. If I get bored one day, I might go back and do it, release it. But
someday,
apologies. Just didn't happen. We recorded it. It was almost a year ago now that we recorded that, so it's all good.
You know what song's been in my head? My Something Valentine. Have you ever heard that song? I don't remember.
Yesterday was Valentine's Day. Did you do anything fun?
We went to the Market Grill in Hy-Vee.
I saw that. That's
where
right.
Where they have half-price sushi and half-price bottles of wine.
That is a smart idea.
It was great.
By them. We did nothing. We did go out for a date day a couple weeks ago. Like I said, we saw Itanya.
That's right.
Yeah. And went to the Oliver, which is a nice...
Yeah.
Spot.
Okay. So I've been there. And I've, at the time, for whatever reason, I like had some of an appetizer. Like I didn't really eat much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We went without a reservation. So we had to kind of sit in the corner of the bar area.
Listen, in my opinion, when Jordan and I go out,
no reservations,
eat at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my thing.
It's a fun experience.
I would rather eat at the bar than at a table.
I do that when I'm on the road.
Yeah. No, we went to Corvino's Supper Club, and it was delightful.
I saw Julia Hale was playing there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And we were thought about going to see it. It was like two Fridays ago.
Have you listened to her band, Hilux?
That was the band. It was her new band.
They are really good.
That's why we wanted to go see her, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, like really good.
No, when we went to the Oliver, though, I was just thinking about this because there were people... there, and it's a pretty nice place.
There were people there?
There were people there while we were there.
Other people.
Mm-hmm. Eating and enjoying food. There was a family, and they brought kids with high chairs at this place. And it's pretty, it's not upscale, yeah, but it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, and instead of being like, who do they think they are? I was like, bravo.
Yeah, do you.
Bravo, guys.
You know,
because I'm just thinking through all the logistics of we're going to go to like a nice place and we're taking our kids in their high chairs. Two kids in high chairs.
So they brought their own high chairs? Is that what you're saying?
I would almost think they'd have to in a place like that. What places do you go like that actually have a high chair? Because they discourage, I think, children from coming.
That's a good point.
And it was a Saturday night. It was like 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. These people are like, we are going out. I don't care.
So much of your life you have to change for your children. It's about time you're just, you know what? You're adapting to me, and so is everyone else around us. You're just going to have to deal
with
it.
It's a noble thought. But one thing I wanted to say is, while applauding those parents, I wanted to say, it'll pass.
Yeah, this is the last time you do this.
It sounds like a good idea. It won't happen again.
Work up the courage, and then, yeah. Okay, so topics and...
So we got some topics. So I think what we could do, too, is we have some ideas for topics that we're going to discuss. So we're going to keep this fairly short. It's not going to be an hour long of us just droning on about something no one wants to hear. I think it'd be fun. We have a few ideas where we'll start off with, but maybe we'll put it out there on social media so people actually still follow
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I think there's about six people who...
It's been about 6 months since we put anything out there.
Following us.
As I recall, the last podcast we put out did say, like, the comeback. I think it was audacious enough to say, we're back, guys. And then
timely.
6 months later, I'm going to have to do it again. Don't call it a comeback.
Let's just call every episode we do the comeback.
Somebody, who was this? There's a new, because there's a
podcast. Okay, you are getting old, because everything that you tried to reference so far, there's you've struggled to remember.
Yeah, I know, dude. There's a podcast... There's a podcast for everything now, but there's a podcast now where they just talk about ideas for podcasts.
That is this podcast.
I haven't listened to it yet, but the first one, one of the ones that I heard, someone was mentioning it, is they say a Groundhog Day podcast where every single one is episode one.
Oh, that's good.
And every time you just start over, or you do a review of the movie Groundhog every single episode.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Okay, some of the topics. Should we name off the topics that we have currently? Yep. Or should we just surprise people?
Keep it light is a topic?
The Enneagram is one topic, because that's hot right now. Like,
how do you say it?
Enneagram.
Okay, it's not Enneagram?
No, but we'll wait to discuss. Bitcoin, now that fad is completely passed.
I don't understand it.
All right, we'll discuss. We'll discuss here soon. Meditation, because you went on a meditation retreat.
I did. I hung out with monks.
We're going to talk about that. Politics, we're not sure about politics yet. We do have some good guest ideas coming up as well. We'll keep that secret. Parenthood and dadhood. Those are always good top. I think a recurring theme of this podcast.
Yeah, it kind of works its way into every. I do listen to Bill Simmons' podcast where he guesses the lines with Cousin Sal, and they have instituted a parent corner.
The parent corner is pretty good. It's amazing they have content for that like every week.
It is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Some weeks are better than others, but...
I was listening to their podcast every week, and now I've gone through a bit of a... I'm out on podcasts, right? I'm kind of overdone.
You just listening to books on tape now?
No, reading books. I'm trying to read books in real life.
Same here. You know how many books I've read so far this year?
How many?
Four.
Whoa!
Yeah, man.
I read one, and I'm proud of myself. I'm trying to do one a month, so I'm behind.
Same. My goal last year was to do one a month, and I read four total. This year, my goal is to do more than that, but I've already started off this year with a bang. I finished the Harry Potter series.
Dude.
One of the best series I've ever read.
We should leave that for a topic, Harry Potter.
Dude, we can make that seven straight episodes.
Of all the different books.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be a topic. We're going to
write it down
on
the handy dandy notebook.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break, a music break, and we're going to come back and talk about what's our first topic. You name it right now.
Let's do the Enneagram.
We're going to do the Enneagram first. So we're going to, we'll do that right after this. So let's talk about meditation.
We're going to do meditation.
Is that what we're doing first?
I said Enneagram, but we can talk about meditation.
No, my bad. Let's do the Enneagram. So the Enneagram, when I first heard about it,
do I take this online?
It sounded like, yeah, we'll take it in a second. We'll stop, we'll pause, and then we'll come back.
My apologies.
You'll have taken the
test. A lot of pausing.
Enneagram is a personality typing system with, it's not scientifically verified. No personality typing systems are that I know of. Not even Myers-Briggs or the DISC for that matter. But they, the Enneagram, which sounds like when I first heard the like pentagram, I'm like, what is the secret society? Like weirdness is going on with this thing.
Yeah. I was picturing like, I don't know, like the triangle with the eye, like Illuminati.
It does have that kind of it's a weird name. It's an old school type system and, kind of has a spiritual bent to it. It's really bent. It's made more for, I feel like it will help you discover motivation. Like your kind of motivation for things is kind of, the way I would describe it. And there's 9 different types.
All my motivations are sexual.
There is a sexual component to this.
Is there?
There actually is. You can get into variants, which I have not really gotten into, but there's a social variant, sexual variant, and strong variant, I think is the third one. 3 S's. It kind of, that gets a little bit deeper than I care to dig with it, but so there's 9 types and they break down. There's lots of resources out there if you are at all interested in it. And you can take the test online, which is what we're going to have Adam do, because I know my type and I think I know what you're, I should write down what I think
your type is. What's your type?
I'm a 9.
Out of 9?
Which is the peacemaker. Yes.
Wow. The peacemaker. Does that mean like your rank is the 9th out of 9?
Yeah. Lowest. Oof. I know. It's the worst.
I'm scared.
Actually, 9s, technically, point of pride here, 9s are on the top of the Enneagram, so thus we have visibility of the whole thing.
So that's why you feel like you know what I am.
Yeah. So there's a couple rules with the Enneagram, and I always have to make sure people know this. Number one, the tests that you take aren't really the best way of measuring what your number is. It's best if you hear people describing it in more of a classroom type setting or a teacher student type setting, which I've done some of that, and that's actually when I discovered it, what I actually was, because I took 2 different tests. There's a paid one you can take, which I don't recommend paying for it if you're not like super super dialed into it. And then there's a free version that I found, and we will post some of these links in our notes if you want to go and check them out. And that's the one I'm gonna have Adam take, is that one I actually typed me on the nose, and I didn't realize at the time, I thought it was wrong. I thought it typed me incorrectly, but that's something with 9s, is that they tend to take on properties of other numbers because they are peacemakers. So they're trying to make everybody happy. And,
I have that quality.
I grew up with a lot of 4s and 5s. So I actually tested in the 4 and 5 range for some and 6. So it kind of just threw me off a little bit. Hmm. How I found out that I was a 9 was a couple different ways. I heard, there's a guy named Richard Rohr that does some teaching on the Enneagram, and I listened to his, he has like an 8-hour series on it that I listened through one day. Like, I mean, it's like a podcast type thing. So I listened through that and thought, 9 sounds actually kind of right up my alley. My wife typed then as a 9, and we read about what relationships of a 9 and a 9 is like, and it described us to a T. It was freakish.
That's spooky.
To where it was like, you like going to the same restaurants. You like going to the same vacation spots. You like, and it was like, well, yeah, yeah, all of those things.
Wait, what are the restaurants you guys like going to?
Jose Pepper's. That's pretty much our.
I was hoping you'd say something like that.
Yeah. We do go to, for like fast food, we'll go to Chipotle a lot. I don't know. Yeah. So we have places, we have a list of like 5, and we're just like, then we just drop through that list.
You just rotate through it.
We rotate through it. But 9s famously have the lowest amount of energy. So that's also what it is. It's motivation. It's energy. It's how you deal with stress. It's how you integrate and become healthier. And I think it's really good. It's a good system because you can kind of gauge by how you're, there's a lot of movement in it too, which I like. It's not like you're this. You're not just like pigeonholed into this. Like you're a, I don't know what the, I forget what the Myers-Briggs is.
ESFP.
Now. Yeah. And it's like, you're that. That's what you are. This, the Enneagram, you can move around a little bit. So you have an arrow you're pointing to, a number that you'll go to in stress, and a number you go to in health.
Interesting.
And so if I'm stressed out as a 9, I tend to go towards the 6, the negative properties of a 6. And then when I'm healthy, I'm going towards the positive parts of a 3. And I also realize that as well, 3s are very task-oriented, very
achiever. Let's just pause for a second, because you're a 9, mm-hmm. and your negative properties divisible by 3. That's yes. 6.
It's like, yeah, on a triangle, if you look at the
that's
Enneagram
crazy.
Thing. Yeah.
It
doesn't work that way for all the numbers.
I'm already ready to fully commit to it.
Yeah. It's kind of weird at first, because it is kind of very different from the other personality types. Because I'm like, usually like you're just taking these yes, no, maybe type questions. And then you're just like, this is what you are. And even the Berkman is kind of, I like the Berkman's a pretty good test. I've done that one too.
Very robust.
That one's really good, I think, for
career
minded. Yeah. And that I discovered a lot about myself career wise. So this one does not do any of that. It'll help you with like work. It helps me know, like when I'm getting stressed, or when, I guess I can tell, and also with energy, helps me regulate kind of my energy levels, because 9s famously have the lowest amount of energy on the Enneagram. And so we just are always about conserving our energy. And my wife and I, the classic phrase that we say to ourselves is, man, we just need to chill. Let's just chill this weekend. Like, what have we done? Like, we've done anything, but we need to chill this weekend. Let's just stay home and chill this weekend.
I'm a big fan of chilling.
And so, yeah, like this past weekend, I did absolutely nothing. I read a book and I did take care of my children, but I also, my wife had homework to work on. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to sit around and do absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Don't shower.
I did shower, but it was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. I love it.
So, anyways, so the one thing that it's not great to do is just to solely base yourself off the test. It's good to do like multiple sources multiple points of input. The second thing it's not good to do is to try and type all your friends and other people. It's easy to try and do, but it's better if people discover it for themselves. And I think that's the true power of it, is when you get that kind of aha moment of, oh wow, like this really applies to me and I can see myself. And like I said, not scientifically backed, but also kind of interesting. So
it was developed by a priest in Latin America, wasn't it?
I think so. But it's pretty old. I mean, it's been around for like hundreds of years.
Okay.
And the story I was told on it was that they didn't want to commit it to like paper, because they don't want it to be turned to like a parlor trick, which is kind of what it's becoming in some ways. But so it was more of like an oral tradition.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was kind of intriguing. And then like in the 70s, I think some like social scientists kind of took it and developed it a little bit further into what it is now. So,
well, I tell you what, self-discovery is so much work to just be able to take a test and just have it tell you sounds like a lot.
Right.
A lot better. So,
yeah, just tell me what I am. Tell me what I need to do.
Yeah. This is the Holy Spirit, right?
Yep. It's going to tell you, goals in life.
I'm excited.
It's going to tell you, you already got married, but it would tell you who to get married to.
Well, I can always get married again. So if I need to,
it's up for debate.
Jordan might actually be excited about that. We're going to cut this part, right?
Jordan might be the only person listening to this. Oh, good times. All right, so we are going to have Adam take the test. And we'll be right back, and we'll discuss the results. I'm going to write down on a piece of paper what I think his number is, because I'm pretty sure I know, even though I'm not really supposed to know. Be right back. So we have Adam's test results, and I was wrong. I was incorrect, at least by what this had. I guessed that you were a 9, like myself, and I recently just came to that knowledge because we talked about doing this episode, and I think I was talking with my wife or somebody, and we're like, what Adam would be. And I thought you were, might be a 7, which that, now that I think about it, I was way off. And that's why you don't try and type your friends. And my wife said, no, Adam's a, he's, I think he might be a 9. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, you might be right, like, because we're 9s.
It's very narcissistic of you both.
I know. We just want to drag you down with
so
ourselves.
So like a 9.
But you're actually a what?
I'm a 3.
He's a 3, which is the achiever focused on the presentation of success.
I'm an achiever.
To attain validation.
Yeah. I'm not interested in actual success. I'm purely interested in the appearance.
The appearance of success.
Let's get that right.
So that's a more 9 thing right there. I want to feel like I'm being successful, but like just give the least amount of energy towards it possible.
Yeah, see, there is a little bit of 9 in me then, because really I care that other people view me as successful, right. Not that I'm actually.
It says you're a 3 wing 4, so you have a little bit of the individualist in there. 4s tend to be like big into art and just wanting to be, it's called the individualist. So they want to be, just do their own thing.
Very American.
Solo artists. Yeah. You're like the prototypical American right here with an achievement individualist.
I wasn't even born in this country.
That is true. You just inherited it. So let's see. I'm going to see what your strength. So if I thought you were 9, let's make sure. I thought you might be 9 as ghost. You get a 9 in stress, but I could be off on that. Let's see.
There's a great line 3s, in this description.
Which one? Please read
it. The one that we were just talking about. It just kind of shows you, I don't know who wrote this.
Like I said, this is an ancient.
It's
ancient system.
It says the achiever is highly focused in the pursuit of their goals, whether their goal is to be the most successful salesman in the company.
Salesman.
Or the sexiest woman in their social circle.
This might have been written a couple years ago. They're often self-made.
I really want to be the sexiest man in my social circle.
Sexiest salesman.
Oh, man.
Let's see. 3s can sometimes find intimacy difficult.
This is true.
We can skip over that if you like.
I'm not talking about validated
for their image.
Physical intimacy.
Because it's got a lot of hang-ups here. They're really pointing this stuff out for you. 3s can sometimes mistype themselves when they mistake the more superficial features of their personalities. America is a very 3 nation. We're a very achievement oriented nation. So, we all take on a lot of 3 properties. Let me look.
I'm an achiever. I will leave her.
I want to see what you go to in stress. I think you go to Enneagram. Let's go to the Enneagram Institute. That might have some better information. So we took a test on kind of a weirder website, but it was free. So that's why we did it. 3, the achiever. Okay. Wait, you go to 9. Tell me which way you go. Which way is that?
You go to
both, but I need to know what you go to in strength.
It says growth. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Healthy levels, self-accepting, inner-directed, authentic, modest, charitable, self-deprecatory. I don't know how to say that.
Self-deprecatory. You had it.
Self-deprecatory.
You nailed it.
Yeah, this is the one I think that you can... it's really interesting whenever you get into what your relationships are.
Oh, let's hit these bullet points right here. Basic fear.
Being worthless.
Ooh, yeah. Is there a worse quality than being worthless?
Probably not in America. Not to a 3, there isn't.
Can I tell you a quick story? This is
Please
not
do.
A personal story, but 6th grade, we're in line. And in 6th grade, like, lines are, when you're in elementary, everybody wants to be, like, the front of the line. And then by 6th grade, you're like, it's not cool anymore, so. But for some reason, coming out of the lunchroom, these 2 kids get in a fight in line. Which in and of itself, you're just like, what is going on? I'm so much more mature than this. And it was a boy and a girl who were in a fight. The boy I didn't know well, but the girl went to my elementary school, and her name was Brittany Robinson. And Brittany, just don't mess with Brittany. Josh, who was the boy, did not know this, and his last name was Worthley. So the scuffle starts. He grabs her throat with his left arm. And rather than kind of like cower or stagger back, she leans into it, cocks her hand back, and starts slapping him across the face. And he's like, and then he starts like, so he's, now he's trying to hold her back. Cause at first he like grabbed her throat and she like reacted in a way that I don't think he expected and just proceeded to slap him.
Slap her silly.
Slap him silly.
So she would be what we call a number eight, challenger. Yeah,
that was clear. That was clear.
Josh, powerful domination.
But Josh, for the rest of his middle school career, was known as Josh Worthless.
That's from that point funny.
On. And I was like, there is no worse sentence on your life.
See,
that.
As a nine, like eights, and we're not next to each other, but like we are the complete opposite. They're powerful, dominating, self-confident, and nines are easygoing, self-effacing, reassuring, agreeable. Take the exact opposite.
What's your Twitter personality?
Not that.
You seem more like an eight on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't really care on Twitter. Twitter's my own little thing. Twitter's my eight space, probably. I do probably have an eight wing on the tweets. Like my, do you see what my new profile says? A saint in the streets and a sinner in the tweets.
Oh, that is good.
You like that?
That is really good.
Took me a while. Thought about it. All right, let's go back to three. All right. Let's not talk about Twitter.
What's the basic desire?
Is to feel valuable and worthwhile.
Well, that makes sense.
So Enneagram with a two wing is the charmer. Enneagram with a four wing, the professional.
See, I feel like it shifted for me. I used to be the charmer.
Ah, I can see that too. I feel like I still have a pretty strong one wing, but I do feel like I have maybe either centered up better or drifted more towards eight wing as I've gotten older. And that only comes out in certain, usually in like professional
social media platforms
and social media platforms. And, I think at work a little bit more too. I'm more assertive now than I think I used to be. And that just comes with getting older, I think, and just being more confident in myself and my abilities and my, my professional career. I think that's definitely helped me in my new role. Anyways, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's pretty interesting. And it's kind of one of those things where it's as deep as you want to dig. You can get into different levels of health and integration. And like I said, there's different variants, which I feel like at that point, getting a little crazy. There's some places that will mix together the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram, and you can like type yourself together. And I'm like, okay, guys, like I feel like that's kind of mixing like RGB color and CMYK or something, if you will. Like it's kind of,
oh my gosh,
you know,
it's a great analogy.
You like that?
Yeah.
Just came up with that on the fly. Anyways, any other thoughts to round out?
Okay, so I go to a nine in stress.
You actually go to a nine in stress. We goofed that up. We went backwards. And you go to a six. So let's look at
so in growth.
Let's look at that real quick. Where did you see that? Where is that at?
So do you see that it says, wait, what are you asking me?
Moving in the direction of disintegration or stress, driven three suddenly become disengaged and apathetic at nine.
Oh, that's totally me.
However, when moving in the direction of integration or growth, vain, deceitful threes become more cooperative and committed to others like healthy sixes.
Interesting. Well, I am vain and deceitful.
It's to balance that out.
You're so vain.
Key motivations want to be affirmed, distinguish themselves from others, have attention, be admired, and to impress others.
There's a bunch of famous threes. Did you see that list?
Caesar Augustus. That's pretty funny.
Emperor Constantine, so.
You got to start off the list with a bang here.
Do you see who's at the bottom?
John Draper?
Don Draper, that's right. Ooh, Ryan Seacrest.
There you go. Dick Clark right in front of him. Sting, Whitney Houston, Madonna, pretty much just all the top hits, the hits makers.
Taylor Swift, Justin Basically, Bieber.
Anyone who's driven in America is a three at some point.
Mitt Romney.
There you go. All right, I'm going to go back to a nine just real quick so people can see like how how pitiful we nine are.
What's your basic fear?
Loss and separation.
Wow, so death, basically.
Basic desire is inner stability or peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is.
That's why it takes so much energy. And I've also noticed, like, I'm a very routine person.
Yes.
And I developed routines to decrease the amount of energy it takes me to do common tasks. So, like, in the morning I get up and I do the same routine every day. But it's also so, like, my brain does not have to think about, all right, what do I need to do here? Like, and if I get in a routine for something, it makes, I can conserve that energy level to use in other places.
So, you know, I'm different than that. My doctor, when I went into the doctor last year, they said, you are way over too stressed. So I was like, well, how do I deal with it? He said, you need to cut out all the routines in your life. He said, if you brush your teeth with your right hand, start brushing your teeth with your left hand. If you take this the same way to work, start taking a different way to work. He said, the reason is when you're in a routine, your mind is free because you're not concentrating any energy on that task. So your mind is free. And if you're stressed, your mind goes to what's causing you stress and it right. ends up causing more anxiety. He said, so if you start to change those little routines, then you have to focus on the task you're doing. And then you're not as stressed. Interesting.
That's pretty interesting. That goes alongside of what we might talk about in our next topic, which is meditation. Mindfulness is different, I guess, but
it's meditation, Holmes.
I think that almost forces you to be mindful too, because you're switching your routine from what you normally do. Because your brain usually checks out if you have a routine.
Yep.
And so if you switch up your routine, then you're thinking, yeah, I have to think about it and like, what am I doing right now? Rather than drifting past it.
Exactly.
So the Enneagram 9 with a one wing, which is me, the dreamer. But I also do have some 8
deport him
qualities. Hot button topic.
So what do you, when you're hitting your stride and your growth, what is?
A 3. Growth is I go to 3 in growth. And I go to
nice.
6, fear-based. So when moving in direction of disintegration or stress, complacent 9 suddenly become anxious and worried. Totally me. However, when moving in the direction of integration, slothful, self-neglecting 9s become more self-developing and energetic. We get in our groove. And
nice.
That happens a lot with me at work. Usually it takes like a catalyst for me. Like I'll usually use something trivial and to get actually started with my real work. I don't have to like get myself like kind of my brain like clicking like, okay, here we go, ramping up. And then I can be like, boom, I'm in the zone and I have to switch over. I can't just be like cold turkey, be like, start. Start.
You got to ease into it. So what's your path for to ramp up?
Oh, I don't know. I use different
LSD or
just soft drugs.
Yeah, just the designer.
Yeah, you know, just a little stuff, a little pop here and there. Yeah, I do a lot in like Excel. So I'll start off the day. You know, I do like my new job does use Excel a lot. It's actually pretty fun. And so I'll usually start on like a personal. Something I'm like my budget or what I'll check my budget for the week or day. And then I'll get into that like, ooh, ooh, and then I get into it. My brain starts into work mode and then I'll switch over and start doing work stuff. So that's typically what I'll do. Like something that's more fun for me. And then I can switch over to things that are less fun.
Budget is fun for you.
I am a 9, right? We do like weird stuff. No, that's not really a Enneagram thing. That's just a me thing. One thing about 9s, and this is the key, is we want to create harmony in our environments, avoid conflicts at all costs, tension, preserve things as they are, resist whatever would upset or disturb.
Let's create some harmony right now.
That was bad. That was really bad. I feel like...
Crushed it.
Nailed it.
That was dissonance that we created.
That was really bad. There are... there's a really good resource. There's a guy, wrote a book called The Road Back to You, which was an Andy Graham book. It's kind of a good entry level type thing. And the writer of that book, Ian Cron is his name. He has a podcast called Typology, and he does like round tables with different types. And so there's like a round table on nines, and they'll just talk about common things. And it's pretty amazing. So there's also that resource if anybody's interested. But again, since we're covering this topic right now, that means that the cultural moment has already passed.
Yep.
Passed us by. So take that for what everyone could probably be teaching us.
I had someone ask me 2 years ago. I just met this person at a coffee shop, and they were like, it happened to be a Christian. So we were just kind of talking about stuff. And they're like, have you ever taken the Enneagram? I was like, no. Like, really? I feel like you should take it. I was like, oh yeah, no, I'll totally look into that. So now that I'm coming around to it, it's probably.
Yeah. Well, now we know. All right. We've went on for way too long for one topic. We'll stop there. And
you're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain.
Peace out. Thanks for listening, guys and gals. Let us know if you enjoyed this topical format. And if you did, let us know what topics you'd like to hear us discuss in the future. We have a few ideas, but we are always open to more. But like we mentioned, we'll still be rolling out guest interview episodes here and there, sprinkled throughout these topical episodes. But we do hope this new format allows us to release more episodes more often, which is the whole goal in the end, right? Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at 6degreepod. We're also on Facebook for those of you that have heard of that social media platform. We're not on Vero yet, but you can rest assured we'll get into it a few months after everyone else is finished with it. And hey, if it's not too much trouble, make sure to subscribe to the pod on your favorite podcasting medium. If you're feeling extra helpful, leave us a flattering review. We'd certainly appreciate it. Look for another new episode coming at you soon. Thanks, guys and gals. Ladies, human beings, thank you.